Hello, and welcome to the Wizard's Respite Sanctorum, the show in which we talk about all things TTRPG. Today we got a pretty exciting and a little bit of a dark episode, a World of Dark episode. Wah, wah. And on sound effects, as always, we have Zachariah, who's actually going to be spearheading this one, because though I know a lot about the history of World of Darkness, I have not actually played it, but
you didn't have to say it. You could have faked it till you make it. That's what you guys get out of this podcast. You get honesty from Wizard right there. You get the honesty. World of Darkness. We're doing World of Darkness finally. We've talked about it a little bit. Here, I'm going to show the camera my very old Werewolf the Apocalypse book with my future Werewolf the Apocalypse character. So I played World of Darkness when I was very young in high school, which means I didn't really play World of Darkness because nobody ever plays anything correctly when they're in high school.
At least not back in the day.
Yeah, don't come at me. Nobody knew how to play their games. They were guessing. You read them and you were like, I think this is how it works. And then you found out years later that you were wrong about half of it.
We didn't have the internet, right?
Plus, you're in high school. You're a kid and you're young and you're dumb. So you're just trying to get to the fun parts. And you're not thinking about reading. You're like, well, I've read enough. Who's really going to play a spellcaster? Then, of course, your friend Michael has to come in and play a spellcaster. Thanks, Mike. Jeez. I guess I'll bumble through this. But I played this in high school a lot. And then recently, for the last, about a year, year and a half now, I've been playing quite a bit of it. I'm in two different sessions with this game right now. I just started a second one with it. And I have grown to love it and gather a weird affinity for it while also absolutely despising it on many different levels. So I'm kind of
like a complicated relationship.
I'm very interested to talk about this because I do have a very complicated relationship, but I want to actually start this show off with a nitpick.
Oh, okay.
Because we have to start the show off with a nitpick. I'm going to explain why, Wiz. All you people out there, you know who you are. Okay? And I'm talking about the developers of these games, too. I don't care what you say. They're not made to be played separate. Stop that. Stop that crap. Everybody who's like, oh, you're playing them all together, you shouldn't do that. You should just play Werewolf or you should just play Vampire. No. Because there are multiple times in each book where they reference the other stuff. You can't have it both ways. You can't have powers listed in a book that references how it would affect the werewolves or the mages, and then be like, yeah, but they don't count. No. They're meant to be together. I don't care what the developers say. I don't care what anybody says. Plus, you called them all the World of Darkness. It's what you called it, all the World of Darkness. Come on, man. It's shared.
That's kind of baiting.
It's so baiting. There is a passage in the Vampire book. I know this because I read it last Friday when I played my vampire character for the first time, on presence, and it lists the specific effects of how it affects werewolves, mages, and other supernatural creatures like changelings. But if you talk to anybody, if you look up any of these books online, everybody will be like, you're supposed to play them separate, they're never supposed to be played together. The developers of the games, the writers of the games will be like, we never meant them to be played separate. You called them the World of Darkness. It's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. I'm gonna start off there. We are covering the entirety of the World of Darkness. We're just gonna talk about the overview, and we're gonna do it because it's meant to be together. I don't care what anybody says. This is like the guy who invented GIFs saying it's GIFs. No, I'm sorry. This is bigger than you. It's bigger than you. It's the World of Darkness.
It's gone beyond.
Starting hostile.
Yeah, to that note, I will like to add, I haven't played the game myself. I have actually done a weird amount of research into the game on the back end for on basically the more business side, mm-hmm. the history of the game, that kind of stuff, for other articles that I've researched and written on. It's a very interesting company, and their rise to prominence in the 90s was really interesting. But the company has been super locked down on a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
They very much tell you what you should and should not do on a lot of things. That's one of the big criticisms for the company that I've mm-hmm. run across a lot. And it doesn't surprise me that they're telling their players that they can't mix and match, but let's be honest, this is TTRPG. Right. When you are a GM, when you're playing this, any RPG, if you're a content creator, Zach, you and I are content creators.
Mm-hmm.
Would you be offended if somebody took single mod and was like, oh, I'm totally doing my own thing?
I'm already shaking
with your
my
basic
head.
Rules.
Already shaking.
Exactly.
And let me just go ahead and point out, I already know three people who are already doing their own things with single mod. You know, like I got sent a thing from Aether, who plays Astral Drive with us, Brian. He sent me an Arknights little mod that he started working on. I know Philbilly's working on his own, like, post-apocalyptic slash fantasy world in single mod, and neither one of them asked for permission, and that's completely okay. I like it that way. It's completely fine with me. You can't copyright a system. You can't trademark a system. A system is a system. It's a set of numbers. You can't stop it. But as far as this game goes, so I do want to say they've started recently coming out with, like, new editions of them that, from what I understand, are terrible. I have not read them so far. I haven't read them personally. The guys I play this with have read them. So the session that I'm in actually started out a newer edition session of Vampire the Masquerade, because they wanted to try out the new rules. And they hated it so much that they just converted everything back to the old rules, but liked the characters and just kept it going, even though they, because the way the garage works is there's another game that we have that I go 2 weeks, but they do three Fridays out of four every month. And I go two Fridays. One of the Fridays is a World of Darkness game that is a full World of Darkness. You can play anything. I play a mage. Another guy plays a hunt. Well, a couple other guys play hunters. Somebody else is playing Strike Force Zero, which are like men in blacks that are cybernetically enhanced. Another guy plays mage. Then there's this other session that they had started, which is the vampire session. I just switched to this session because I wanted to play more World of Darkness. I wanted to play Vampire the Masquerade and try an all-vampire game. So that one's kind of all-vampire. So we're covering everything. And World of Darkness, everything before that new edition. Because I don't know enough about that new edition. We're covering old school, World of Darkness, White Wolf, all of that stuff. And I think that, like, I don't know where should I start here, man? Because it covers a lot of stuff. Like, anything you can really think of is somewhere in World of Darkness, which is one of the things that I actually find really cool about
it. Okay. Okay, yeah. Like, I didn't actually realize just how expansive it appears mm-hmm. to have gotten.
Well, and some of the stuff that to be played is kind of crazy to even play it. I don't know how you'd play it successfully, but, like, there are ghosts. There's a whole book called Wraith the Oblivion. You can play a ghost. There's werewolves. There's vampires. There's changelings, which are basically like LARPers if they were in a gothic horror game. Like, if and they actually had powers. Like goblins and stuff. That's what you are.
Okay.
Then there's hunters, which are like they sound. The Van Helsings of everybody. But there's also Strike Force Zero hunters and Demon Hunter X hunters, which are like anime characters and men in black. And then I feel like I'm missing one. I'm definitely missing one. Oh, and then there's Mage. There's Mage, which is possibly my most favorite one, which you just play a wizard. I think that, like, there's just so much covered by this because every one of these books has, like, many different ways to play those characters, like tons of different ways to play those characters.
So let me ask you. Sure. With World of Darkness, there's all these different sort of characters that you can play. How crunchy versus descriptive are the mechanics for these various different characters?
Okay, so this game, I think one of the things I both like and hate about this game is it's... So the system, I'm going to hold this up to the camera. I know you can't see it. But the system, you have these, like, dots on the character sheet. And you have, like, You have attributes and you have abilities. Abilities kind of constitute more like known, learned skills. Attributes constitute more like your innate abilities, you know? For each of those, you have three different categories. So on attributes, you have physical, social, mental, and then you have three stats under each, right? And then abilities, you have talents, skills, knowledges, and then you have a bunch of different abilities under each. And then you buy dots in it, okay? You buy dots in these, you write in little dots, and then basically what you do is you roll, like, whenever you're asked to do something. So say you're asked to make a combat check, you're asked to attack somebody. You would use, to hit them, you'd use dexterity and your brawl skill. This particular character that's right in front of me has a 4 dexterity and a brawl 2, so that's 6. He rolls 6 d10s, and then what he does is you keep 6 and above as successes. And then you're trying to beat the other person's successes. When it comes to like actual ability checks in combat, you're trying to get a success number. You're trying to get a certain number of successes. And then the difficulty on the die to get successes raises or lowers depending on the difficulty of the task that you've been given. Which is basically the crux of it. It's the long and the short of it. There's a lot of other like crunchy little things. But one of the things that's very interesting about these games is that what I just told you is shared throughout all of them. However,
okay,
everything else is different on every other thing. So like how mages do their powers completely different, where they put their bubbles and powers and stuff like that. Then you have like werewolves are different, and all of these things also have upsides and downsides. So like with a werewolf, you have a rage that the more rage you get, the less controlled you are. And that's kind of where the horror aspect of the games come in. Like with Vampire the Masquerade, you have a humanity. And as you do terrible things, your humanity goes down. You also have a blood pool. So you can use your powers, but your blood pool slowly goes down, and you have to drain people of blood to get those points back to use your powers. With a mage, it's called Paradox. And basically, mages are tricky because the way it works is like if you want to cast a spell, you have to have the certain spheres to cast it, but you also have to do it in a way that it would look coincidental. It's so like I can't make somebody fly, right? Because that would cause paradox. So paradox is the negative thing on mages. That would cause paradox. It would hurt you because I'm doing something that is just not allowed. But I could, if somebody's falling, slow their fall to the point where they maybe don't get hurt when they hit the ground. So they're still falling, but it's coincidental that they didn't fall fast enough to hurt themselves. Like, gotcha. The best description of Paradox for me was my game master. Shout out to Johnny, if he's listening. He said, you always have to imagine there's a 9-year-old child standing next to you. If what you do doesn't make the 9-year-old go, what the fuck was that? Then you're safe.
That's actually a good rule system because, yeah, you know, 9-year-olds are pretty, you know, like,
right.
9-year-olds aren't going to tell if somebody falls fast. Mm-hmm. They're just going to see someone falling. But 9-year-olds going to be able to tell if somebody jumps and they just keep going. That's
yeah,
like,
they just
what?
Keep going, right. But yeah, so crunchiness, it's there isn't really. The crunchiness is specific to the game, you know, like okay. How you use your powers and what. It's very interesting because Phil Billy's, you know, we always called him the build master, and he's very into the crunchiness of the system. He is having the hardest learning curve with this system, but he's finally getting to a point with his hunters where he's starting to understand how his hunter works, how he can put stuff in to maximize what he does in combat and stuff. And then he tries to explain it to me, and I'm like, I don't understand anything you just said, but we're somehow playing in the same game. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And it's the same when I try and explain to him mages. Like, he even said to me, he's like, I try to follow your game. I have no idea what's going on. You're, like, moving through worlds and messing with metaphysics and all sorts of, like, trying to figure stuff out. And whereas his game is like, I find vampire, I kill vampire. But we're all in the same universe, which is a lot of fun.
Now, it sounds like a little bit like the powers, at the very least with the mages, have like this more of a descriptive nature to it. Like, it's not necessarily a series of spells that you know or powers that necessarily are aligned. Is that true for the other various abilities, or do they stack more into, like, just a stack of powers that can be gained for the vampire or werewolf?
I would say they stack more, like, gained powers. It's one of the things I like about mages the most is the real gameplay of the mage, and I've said this to my game master, Johnny, quite a bit, is the real gameplay of the mage, as far as numbers is not putting points onto the sheet. It's trying to convince my game master that what I'm doing is possible with the points that I already have, slash the 9-year-old isn't getting bothered by it. So that's really interesting. But a lot of the other ones are a little bit more crunchy. But what I will say about White Wolf, and that was something I kind of failed to finish my thought before, is that it is very narrative, though, in its description and the way it goes, because it's just these kind of like singular actions on the D10 system. It's not necessarily like it's not like D&D where it's like I move this far and I do this and I do this and I do this. It's much more like, at least the way I've played it, there might be some rules lawyers out there that come after us, but with us it's much more like, okay, well, I want to do this. All right, well, I guess here's the role, here's the difficulty, role. You know what I mean? And it's much more like a conversation about how you want the scenes to go down. Combat is extremely severe, and we all know how much I like that. It's quick and brutal, and you should be scared of it. And that is one thing that White Wolf does to a T. You get in a fight, a vampire attacks you, you're going to get messed up and possibly barely survive. With my mage character, I have only been in one thing that I could even consider even remotely a fight, and it all lasted within 2 seconds, and it was really just I got the better of him with outsmarting him with a spell that I already had locked and loaded and managed to keep me alive. But like, I've read the vampire book, I know what the vampires can do. I am very scared of them. It's much more like and that's another thing that I like, is it's much more like a chess match. Like, everything feels kind of like a chess match with what you have available to your character. It's not necessarily like, I have this bonus, I'm going to roll this, I hit or miss. It's much more like, I can do this with this power, I could do this with this power. How can I use these two things to get away? I'll give an example.
Interesting.
I'll give an example. It's a mage example, but I predominantly played mages. My mage character is this old man, he's trying to protect his house from this coven of vampires who are trying to take it from him. So one of the vampires comes in and negotiate with him, probably to kill me. So I knew it was a vampire right off the bat. It was a bad news. I'm very low level mage, but one of my powers, because I have some points in spirit magic, one of the spells that I've created for myself is spirit eyes. I can turn on my eyes and I can see the spirit world. However, doing that allows things on the spirit world to see you. Okay? And for whatever reason, my house is on top of a ley line, a node type thing, right? It's a huge story arc for my character. Because of that, there is this thing called a Reaper, which are these things that just like, they just protect the spirit world, basically. They're just evil, screeching death entities, basically. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Every time I turn on my spirit
eyes. Wicked monster.
Yes. Every time I turn on my spirit eyes in my house, I hear it start screaming. It starts rushing for me. I have to turn my spirit eyes off. So I have to be careful when using my spirit eyes in the house. But I also have life magic, which allows me to influence other biological creatures. Vampires at my house. We're having a bad negotiation. I go to shake his hand. I know he's going to bite me. So I cast life eyes on him, so he can see into the spirit world. But at the same time, this attracts the Reaper to him and forces him to barely escape the Reaper's attack because he doesn't know what's going on. So, like, that's the kind of thing that this game kind of presents to you, is this kind of, like, chess match of, like, everything's a negotiation. Like, how do you outsmart the situation? And that's one of my favorite things about the game that I've played.
I'll tell you. As a GM, I love that. That's my favorite part about being a GM, is when we as GM and players work together to create a cool kick-ass scene. Mm-hmm. When players are really thinking outside the box like that, you get an opportunity to create an outside-the-box situation that's just fun. It's like watching a movie almost.
Right. Well, and those are the moments you remember. You know what I mean? Those moments where it's like, wait, what did you just do? Like, I love those moments in games when you can find that, like, moment of legend. You know what I mean? And, like, White Wolf definitely has the system in play to kind of present those moments more often than not. I feel like no shade on D&D. We've already had that podcast. And there are plenty of ways in D&D where you can get tricky with spells and some of the abilities. And I know that. I've seen that. But overall, I think there are more opportunities in the White Wolf games to have those, like, tricky, holy crap, that was legendary kind of moment than maybe in the other games. Especially with the way the powers are presented to you. Even with the vampire and other powers, a lot of them get very tricky and very kind of like there's a power for the vampire that my vampire has called presence. Basically, it just like mind controls people in the area to like fight for me. But even that can kind of give you this like idea of like, well, how do I make this work for me? Because I can't just kill somebody with this. I have to kind of use it for me. And I think that like White Wolf is really good at that. Like, really good at, like, blending the line between crunch and narrative storytelling.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense. Everyone, in my research of the game in general, and the history of the game, everyone that's into this is really into the storytelling aspect of this type of stuff. I've never heard or seen videos of people getting, like, really into how do you break your character like you do see in D&D. It's way more like, can you believe what we just did? This amazing thing just happened. The story unfolded.
Yeah.
So that's kind of putting some pieces together there for me.
I would definitely put it more on the narrative side of things than the crunchy stat heavy thing. It's definitely not, you're not going to find a lot of build videos for Vampire the Masquerade or Werewolf the Apocalypse, whereas you can find one a dime a dozen on D&D. I think that like that is something that I really like about that. And that's something else that I really enjoy about that is it's a mainstream system with a lot of like following that doesn't necessarily, and we've talked about this, the gamifying of TTRPGs, where you're looking at stats and numbers more than you're looking at the core role-playing experience. And I think that like White Wolf definitely promotes the core role-playing experience way more than the crunchy numbers, stats, gamification of TTRPGs. If you're sitting down to a White Wolf group, you're gonna be wanting to use all parts of your brain, not just the math parts, which is really, really cool, and I like that. And I want everybody to know that I have a lot of bad to say about these games, too. So we haven't gotten to the nitpick section, so just heads up, it's not all roses.
Let's get into that in just a second, because there's a couple of things that you're clearing up some things that I saw. I'm making connections. There's some light bulbs going off in my head from being a guy who's researched this as a phenomenon as opposed to a guy who's actually played it.
Right.
And just one of the reasons why I researched this is because I was trying to categorize different types of games and determine various popularities and why they have the followings they do, why they are popular. I think I've said in the past, horror is one of the better selling genres for new content creators from the research that I've done. It's also just kind of fantasy is oversaturated to, straight off the bat.
There's a reason our first setting is going to be a horror. There's a reason, you know, we chose.
Yeah. It's sci-fi and then horror. And they're very close together there. They're the sales and the amount of books that are coming out and the amount of demand that there is for these genres are very close. Whereas fantasy is extremely huge, but there's not nearly as much like demand for new content from the fantasy genre as there is for new content for the horror genre. So that's the reason why I did so much research into World of Darkness, because World of Darkness is the big boy on the block in the horror world.
Mm-hmm.
It's Call of Cthulhu. Yeah, that's a big one. Yeah. World of Darkness, actually, from the last several months that I've done my research, beats Call of Cthulhu.
It beats it.
And sales.
Mm-hmm. Without a doubt. Without a doubt. I wouldn't question that at all. White Wolf's been around since the before times, too.
Has it now?
Yeah, I want to say it started in like the 80s, but I'm not 100% sure. It has been around at least in the 90s, because that's when we got into it. So like,
yeah, it blew up in the 90s. Yeah. I remember seeing
Gothic
that.
Gothic horror was huge in the 90s, ladies and gentlemen. There was vampires everywhere, and I got sick of them real fast. It was just everything was a vampire. If you weren't a vampire, you fucked off. That was just the way it was back in the 90s. I think that, like, yeah, but this was an olden time game. This was before the real nerd blow up. You know what I mean? This is a pre Critical Role, everybody loves gaming now sort of game, you know? And
bro, you're stabbing me in the heart a little bit, because you're right, it is a before time game, but that just makes me feel so old.
Yeah, right here. Yeah, which one of us is older? I can't remember. I'm 42. How old are you?
38.
So I got you beat. A little bit. Only I get to complain here about age now. I am the victor. In my day, we walked to school with no pants on. That's not true. We walked with pants on.
like Greek era, like togas.
I was real. We didn't have cars. We rode horses that we tamed ourselves. No. Yeah. So it is really cool. I think White Wolf is like the beast when it comes to Gothic horror, as far as purchasing Gothic horror. I think what's interesting about White Wolf 2 is, you know, when I first started to pick it up, and the guys wanted to play this, you know, I actually voted to play this when we were going to go back to this from the Western game we had been playing before it, mainly because I'd never really played it old. I never really played it now. I'd only ever really played it when I was a kid. And when I played it as a kid, I just felt like, oh, vampires, blah, 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 blah. Sure. Plus, I never really thought of it as horror when I was a kid. Like, I never really looked at it as horror. I just looked at it as, like, because there's nothing scary about it. Just everybody knows what everybody is, and they're all fighting. But playing it now, I really see the horror in it. And the horror is not... and I think I was just too young to really understand it, but the horror is not necessarily in the subject matter, in what's going on around you. It is this creeping feeling of corruption and dread that every character invokes in this. Every type of thing you can play in this, and demons and angels were the other one that I forgot. They're also in here. But all of them, every one of them has some sort of meter or box that, like, the more you do stuff, the more you get this thing that's going to destroy you. And so it keeps that aspect of, like, driving into your own oblivion, which is just really interesting. And when you have a good game master, one more shout out to Johnny, you have this, like, he does that well, where, like, everything you do feels like you're just walking closer and closer to your own end. It never feels like, even when you're accomplishing things, you're never really feeling like, yeah, now I'm going to go marry and have kids and settle down. It just feels like, well, I'm stronger, but it has pushed me closer to an eventual end that's not going to look good for anybody. And there's just this constant dread on your character at all times because of that. And I think that is a really interesting... I think that's the essence of horror for this game, is the anxiety. Okay. It kind of, like, pushes into you.
Well, when you say Gothic, I mean, that is, like, Gothic literature very, very well encapsulated in one aspect of it. It's that overarching horror dread of something unseen.
Yeah.
Waiting for you.
Yeah.
In exactly. the darkness.
What do you have anything else to say before I get into nitpicks? Because I
want to hear your
nitpicks to talk about the nitpicks. I need a good 10 minutes on this.
I want to hear your nitpicks. You've shared with me some nitpicks in the past. I want to get real into these nitpicks.
I might get added. I might already get added because I'm saying that you shouldn't play these separate. But I might get added for these ones too. Right off the bat, these books are written terribly. I cannot say how bad these books are written. Terrible. It is like trying to play a TTRPG out of the fucking Bible. Like, that's how these things are written. Everything in them is like lore with systems. Nothing is by itself. There's no, like, here's the story section. Here's how the mechanics work. No. It is all interweaved together. You got to learn the entire history of the Glasswalkers tribe to learn how to fucking dodge. It's ridiculous. It is absolutely insane the way they wrote these books. They are just the worst experience. You get... Phil Billy will back me up on this. He tried to read the Hunter book. He got lost and finally just went to YouTube. He was like, somebody tell me how to play this game. I said, I have no idea. I read the Mage book 3 times, and I still have huge debates with the Game Master about what a mage is, how it works, whatever. The other thing about these books is structurally, they're terrible. Their index often does not reference pages that are needed. Oftentimes, like, the pages that it references is not the page with the system on it, but that's in a different passage that's only 2 seconds long after something else. The books are just terrible. They're great to read if you're looking for a storybook. They're not great to read if you're trying to figure out how to play the damn game. I hate the way these things are written. I despise it. It's where the love-hate comes in, because I do love these games, but every time I try and read these books, because like I said, I've got a mage character and vampire character. I'm trying to make a werewolf character for the next time one of my other characters dies, so I'm trying to go back through the werewolf book, and I'm just doing it again. I'm just lost in a sea of shit. Ooh. And it's... I'm sorry. If somebody out there loves the way these books are written, I apologize. I don't mean to offend, but these are not written right. To me, you should have story, system.
Yeah.
Never the two should mingle. Like, you should be able to be like, here is the story for something, and then here is how these things work. They shouldn't be like spider webbed in there. It drives me nuts. Like, absolutely nuts.
Let me ask you, like, you've run this as a GM as well.
Mm-mm.
It sounds like a nightmare for a GM, because
I
nobody
have not run
knows.
It as a GM. Just to
not.
Say this, I have not actually run it. I do feel like I could at this point run at least Mage as a GM, but I have not run it as a GM, no.
Because it seems like having to, because nobody can remember every aspect of every single rule at all times, no matter what, flawlessly. Sometimes a GM's got to flip open the book real quick. You're like, how the fucking, what was the number? What was that thing? And look it up real quick, because it may be actually important. I give a lot of GMs flexibility. I think GMs should be a little bit more flexible and just make things on the fly as often as they can. But sometimes you just got to go to the book.
Yeah.
And it sounds like this book is going to be a freaking nightmare for a GM.
It is so hard. And like, the guy who's running the game for us has been playing this game since he was like 16 years old, and he's my age, and he still has a hard time finding shit in the book. The other day, all of us were rereading How to Make Ghouls, because it's just, you have to reread it every once in a while. It's yes, you definitely have to look stuff up. And yes, these books make it painful, like physically painful to look shit up. Like, there's a couple of things that are easy to find, but especially the more small the fact is, the harder it is.
One more question about that. You said that you don't like it, but there was a new edition you guys tried to read. Did they try to correct this stressful aspect of the books in the new edition versus the old edition that obviously is very hard to get through?
I do not know. I did not actually read the new edition. Like I said, I just got kind of the information from, honestly, the Game Master. And the problems he had with the game was vampires were extremely weak. Like, they had almost over-nerfed them. And they had made, like, weird creatures, like, super strong. Like, just like a bat, just a normal bat, had just, like, tons of damage that they could die in a hit. Like, it was like stuff like that. Like, things were way out of whack balancing wise. So like for his problems with those was that, like, it was just like everything was way out of whack from what they were used to. I don't know if they corrected any of the reading the book issues, but like I'll give you an example in the Mage book, right? You can spend a point of temporary willpower to negate the effects of paradox for one entire scene, the scene that you are in. And then whatever paradox you have racked up will hit you all at once. It's kind of a last-ditch effort things to go ham with your magic, right?
Okay.
Do you know how many places that's found in the entire Mage book, which is like 400-odd pages?
400. No, how many?
It's one sentence. One sentence. And when I first told Johnny about this, he didn't believe me. So I had to go through the entire fucking Mage book to try and find that one sentence where it said that you can spend a temporary willpower point to, because it's just stuck in there, just floating in a sea of lore. Just floating in a sea of lore. And it is like terrible, man. I cannot say how bad I hate reading these books.
It sounds like when you get this book, you need to also invest in a highlighter.
Yeah.
And maybe some of those little flags that you can get, where you can like put a little tape in, flag, a little label. This is where you find the good shit, kind of. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Ooh. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that is definitely what is required for that game. The other thing that I don't really love about World of Darkness, and I can't really speak to every World of Darkness book when it comes to the abilities and stuff and those things, because every World of Darkness book is completely different. And I don't really know how to play vampires and mages right now. Working on the werewolf, but vampires and mages are my specialty. The thing is it's roll the total number of dice equal to the dots of the ability and the skill, right? When you're trying to do a test. But if you're unskilled, like you don't have an ability for it, you roll the attribute, but you only keep tens. And that is one thing I should say. Tens are crits that explode.
Okay.
And ones are botches that take successes away.
Okay.
So, like,
and so if it's anything between 1 and 10, it just doesn't count?
And 1 and 9. It has to be a 10 to count. And like for me, that's a little bit too strict. It kind of defeats the purpose of the attributes a little bit, in my opinion. Because like I've got a 4 in strength, but I don't have brawl, so I can't throw a punch that damages you. Like, I'm pretty sure I'm still super strong. I can still hit you pretty hard.
Like a slap.
Yeah.
I mean, anybody can do that.
I understand there should be some penalty for not having the thing below, because you would just buff the main attribute and not ever worry about the skill. So I kind of get where they're coming from on that. But still, I just feel like it's too severe to be crits only. Like, it's just such a severe thing to have 4 in perception and not be able to investigate a room because I didn't put anything into investigation. You know, like, that's frustrating to me. Like, I should be able to see something. I have 4 in perception. So, like, I don't know. Like, again, it's a weird balance because, like the Game Master pointed out, like, you just put 5 in perception, never worry about the attribute. I get that, but at the same... never worry about the ability. I get that, but at the same time, like, to have that amount and it be useless kind of defeats the purpose of having it. At that point,
right,
you're kind of making it more about the abilities, and I don't really like that as much. So that's my other nitpick, really.
I can see that. I can definitely see that. I can see it being a little bit of a challenge to overcome, but not necessarily, like, I mean, if you just say, you know, 8 and above or 9 and 10 or some, 8 and above is probably, what, like 30%?
Yeah.
You have a 30% chance of hitting it, right, as opposed to, what would be the percentage? You said it was sixes, right?
Six and above, which is at 40%?
Yeah, yeah.
Or 50%.
So even if it was like...
No, it's 50% because it's six and above.
Yeah.
So it'd be 50%. Exactly. So you're taking it down to a 30% or a 20%. And, like, why is that? Like, that's still pretty severe. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, yeah.
I feel like that would make sense. But that's my only other nitpick. That's a little bit more nitpicky just than the way the books are put together and laid out. Oh, man. I tell you what, they're hitting the horror, because nothing horrifies me more than trying to read one of the White Wolf books from scratch. Nothing.
Oh, man.
Nothing hurts me more. And what's crazy is they do their lore really good. Like, the lore is really good. It's very thorough and interesting and cool. It's just I have to wade through it every time I want to find any sort of, like, stat. And that drives me nuts. Absolutely nuts.
Gotcha. So they need an abridged version. You know,
yeah,
have the standard book and then have an abridged version where it's all about, you know, like, these are the stats. You can go and reference this really quick in a game session.
Right.
Don't stress out.
Don't explain it with the lore. Just lore dump at the beginning, and I'll reference the lore whenever I need to. And then stat dump at the end. Like,
yeah,
first half of the book, lore. Lore. Second half of the book, stats. You know, like, that's
even like
how I like a book.
One thing I've noticed a lot that I see a lot is, like, first chapter, first half of the chapter is lore, second half of the chapter is stats. Very easy line,
okay,
to see. You intermix them, you go through the whole thing.
I take that. And there's definitely chapters in these books that are, like, more stat-heavy or more lore-heavy.
Sure.
But
okay.
It's just like the willpower thing. It's just these little facts that you absolutely need to know are just dropped willy-nilly into the huge lore sections. And it's like, man, you're killing me. You're killing me with that, you know? Especially when your index does not give me every location of Paradox in the damn book. What's the point of an index if it's not going to give me the page number of every time you say the word Paradox in the book? Come on, guys. Come on, man.
Yeah. Yeah, that can be pretty rough.
Just don't even bother with the index.
So, I got a few nitpicks myself.
Sure.
Obviously, not off the gameplay.
Yeah.
More off the, you know, history, mechanics of the... Or the company itself and the game outside of the gameplay. This game is really on hard lockdown. And that's something that I've seen a lot from the culture around this game. A lot of, like, the players of this game. You were saying, you know, there's a lot of people... I think you hit on it right off the bat. A lot of people are saying that you're not supposed to play this game, all of these different aspects of this game together, right? I've heard the complaint that people will say a lot you're playing it wrong.
Oh,
I've seen that on forums. I'm actually on the World of Darkness forum. And that's kind of something that I get a lot of. The other thing, the owners of the game, the company itself, it kind of seems like, I don't want to say they promote it, but their attitude seems to really reinforce that disposition.
Mm-hmm.
They're very much on lockdown on all of their IP. They do not have any sort of OGL or open license or anything. If you try to do anything World of Darkness on and sell it yourself, any modules, any expansion packs, any of that stuff, they're coming for you.
Yeah.
And they're coming hard.
Yeah.
Even like they're sometimes I've seen some people a little concerned about even posting fan art of their characters and putting World of Darkness on there. Not that I don't know that they're super crazy about the fan art part, but the fact that somebody's worried about it in the first place.
Yeah. It's concerning.
Yeah, a little bit.
Concerning. Like, let people in. Like, I don't like anything that's gatekeepy, and I certainly don't like it's one thing if you're losing money. But with these kinds of things, with role-playing games, you make more money the more people want to play it. You know what I mean? Right. And people will want to play it more the more stuff you allow to be out there. Like, it's just the truth. Like, if you allow people to make wacky, crazy expansions for it, that's going to get more people in. At the very least, the people who are making the wacky expansions have to buy it, you know?
Yeah. Like, yeah, and all of their players have to buy the original core rulebook.
As a guy trying to make a career out of this and not being very successful, I understand the need to make money off your product. Don't get me wrong. But, like, there does come a point where you have to let people in so that they can see the thing. You know what I mean? You have to let people play with the thing for them to really enjoy the thing and then give you money for the thing. And I think that is a little frustrating, honestly, with that. I don't like the lockdown. And I certainly don't like the outlook of you're playing it wrong or you're not doing it right. Or, guys, this is role-playing games. These are fun. It's the same with people in video games who are like, games should never be easier than they are. There should never be any accessibility in them. They should be hard and blah, blah, blah. Look, man, maybe that works for you. It doesn't work for somebody else. These are supposed to be for fun. They're supposed to be for you to enjoy at your leisure. And maybe you enjoy something differently than somebody else does. And you don't have the right to gatekeep them just because you think that, like, it should be a certain way. You know, and the same with World of Darkness. Like, let people play the way they want to play. And honestly, I maintain, I don't care what anybody says. These should be played together. I don't care. Come at me. Come at me if you hate me. They should be played together. I think they're the most fun when they're played together. And all sorts of crazy stuff is happening. So far, that's the most fun I've had with any of the sessions of this. So, like, play them together. Play them separate. Play them however you want to play them. But don't get upset with other people about how they play, you know?
Right. Yeah, exactly. And that's kind of been my nitpickiness. Every time I try and dip my toe in, I always get like a little bit of a, oh, do I want to wade through this like drama kind of stuff? Yeah. Not really. So I...
Well, and it goes back to that whole gatekeepy thing that we had talked with Phil a little bit. Sometimes the nerd groups don't, not even nerd groups, but our culture-y groups don't even realize they're doing the same thing that was done to them when they were a kid, you know, by keeping out people who they don't think should be in it. You know what I mean? I hate people who are like, oh, if you haven't played it, you shouldn't try it, you know, or something like that.
Yeah. If you want to do your own thing in it, go ahead.
Yes, exactly. They're games, guys. They're great games that mean a lot to us, but they're games. Let's play them the way we want to play them, you know?
Exactly, yeah. Yeah. Well, do you have any more nitpicks?
No, that's it. Honestly, on a whole, I really enjoy playing it. I know my nitpick was pretty aggressive, but and rightfully so. But I really enjoy playing them. I love how it blends the line between narrative and crunchiness. And I love those debates, those conversations that you have to have every time you play it. This really promotes that. And that's something that's amazing about White Wolf and the way they put their system together. It's just absolutely phenomenal.
Awesome. Man, you're getting me like wanting to pick up one of these books when I have time to read a Bible and find mechanics.
We got too many projects right now. Too many projects to add another one.
I do. That one's going to be on the back burner for a minute. All right. Well, I think we've come to a pretty good conclusion to this show. Got a good vibe on what this World of Darkness is all about. Before we cut out tonight, is there anything you want to shout out?
Let me see. You guys will be listening to this on Friday, so another episode of Astral Drive popped this last Wednesday, hopefully, as long as everybody stays healthy. That includes me more than anybody else. And then we've got a lot of other things in the works for both actual play podcasts and live streaming play podcasts. We've got the Turtles Stump Gang is still going on and getting crazier by the minute. And we've got a cadre of new shows coming your way that we're all working behind the scenes to create right now. So just stay tuned and buy a shirt off Wizard's site.
That's right. And yeah, well, thanks for shouting that out, because yes, I am selling shirts on my site. I'm planning on doing more as the weeks roll on. And we were just talking about having too many projects, and that is one of my too many projects. I'd also like to just sort of drop out, you know, we're starting to talk about it more. We got a new game, a new setting set up for Single Mod. Single Mod is a freaking fantastic game. I have done a deep dive review on it. Zach made it. It's a really fast-paced, fun game designed to get you really immersed in your world very quickly, not having to worry about the mechanics, despite the fact that mechanics are still, you know, very much there, something you can tinker with and play with.
Yeah.
And our new setting is a gothic horror setting, where you take on these powers based off the personas of these gothic writers, such as Edgar Allan Poe, Mary Shelley, and the like. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're getting very close to launching it, and yeah, other projects tied to it. It's going to be a blast. Yeah. So that's my big drop for today.
Yes, we don't quite have a release date yet, but we are entering what I would say would be the final stages of preparation to release it. It will eventually be available on Itch. You can, however, if you want to get a copy of Single Mod ahead of time, just go over to itch.io, search Single Mod in the search bar. You will find my game, as I am the only game called that. And it is only $6. That's it. Just $6. You don't need that money. I know you don't. I need that money. Give that money to me.
You can't even get a cheeseburger from McDonald's for $6 anymore.
Right. Come on, man. Come on. I could get a cheeseburger. Just give it to me. Give it to me. Me, me, me.
Right. That's right. Buy Zach a cheeseburger.
Buy Zach. That's what it should be. Single Mod. Buy Zach a cheeseburger.
All right. I think we're good. Let's wrap it up for the night.
All right. All done then. See you guys
later. All right. Everybody out there, stay safe, have fun, and keep rolling them dice.